as Jenny said, we are in the second week of our series, Entitlement. And what we're really trying to do is, I don't know if you've been checking out the blocks like Robbie said, but this week the blocks say, it's not fair. And we are trying to take that out of our vocabulary because we just realized that where entitlement creeps into our life, it only causes damage. And we just want to be people who are saying we're moving past entitlement. So that's what we're doing this week. And we're going to talk about how that plays out in our relationships. But before I do that, I just want to say that if you're in Mason or if you're here in Oakley, you might be sitting next to someone who has on like a light blue or a maroon shirt. You might be wondering about this thing on their shirt that says, Go Mama Lodi. Anybody in here about to jump on a plane in a couple weeks and go to South Africa? A couple people, you see them? All right. Let me just give you a little bit of background. Jenny talked about the partnership that we have in South Africa with a church called Charity and Faith. And Charity and Faith is a church that is in the township of Mamelodi, South Africa. It's outside of Pretoria, which is the capital city over there. And it's a township that is ravaged by poverty, and it's also ravaged by HIV. But Charity and Faith is a church over there who just believes that they're called to be a blessing to the people in that township. And we partner with them to do that. So these folks are going to jump on a plane. They're going to go over to South Africa, and they're going to help plant gardens, build homes. They're also going to be loving on kids over there through some of the activities that we'll do. These folks have raised their own money for the most part, and I just remember last year being where you guys are. I went on last year's trip, and I remember the sense of excitement that I had, anticipation. What's this really going to be like? Oh my goodness, I'm actually going to South Africa. And I just want to encourage you guys in that, because not only when we go over there do we get to be a blessing, but we get blessed by them. We get blessed by the hospitality that we're shown by Charity and Faith. We also know that in the spring, they come over here and help us make a difference in Cincinnati. So I'm excited for you if you're going on the trip. And what I'd love to do, because I know this is your last weekend for many of you before you take off on that trip, I'd just like to start this time by praying specifically for you. So let's do that. God, I thank you for the folks who have made bold commitments and went out and raised money and did all the things they needed to do so that they could go on this trip to Mamelodi, South Africa. And God, I'm just asking for them that the experience would be life-changing. I'm asking, God, that you would grow them in ways that they never thought possible. I'm also asking for small things like planes to show up on time, bags to show up on time, and all those other things. But since we're in this series of entitlement, I know they're going to have gratitude even if that doesn't happen. So, God, I thank you for that. And I just really look forward to them continuing to advance the partnership you've called us to in South Africa. Thank you for them, and I pray that you'd also help us to learn more about entitlement and relationships and how we can root it out during our time today. Amen. All right, so have fun on your trip. We are talking about relationships today, and specifically intimate relationships. So if you're in here and you're maybe dating someone seriously, or if you're married, I want you to know this is for you. I'm going to speak from my perspective. I'm a married guy, so I'm going to speak from that perspective. But what we're going to talk about really plays into any intimate relationship we have in our life. So I want to start by giving you just some statistics. There was a study that was done of 20,000 couples. And these 20,000 couples self-identified as either happy or unhappy couples. And as they looked at specifically the unhappy couples, what they found was there was a common theme about the things that made them unhappy. What they termed this as was irreconcilable differences. Irreconcilable differences was the biggest driver of these couples being unhappy. So they went a little bit further and said, well, on average, how many irreconcilable differences exist in your relationship? And what do you want to, I want you guys to take a guess. How many irreconcilable differences did these unhappy couples report on average? Anybody? Call it out. Six. One. 50. Okay. Okay. Hopefully that's not a personal statement. Actually, the answer was about 11 to 12. 11 to 12. So on average, these unhappy couples had 11 to 12 irreconcilable differences. So folks did the survey, got interested, got curious, and said, well, I wonder what would happen if we asked that same question to the happy couples. So they went to the couples who identify themselves as happy, and they said, you know, how many irreconcilable differences, things you just can't get over, exist in your relationship? Anybody want to take a guess on how many they reported on average? 12, 5, 20, 0, 0. Actually, you might be surprised. The answer was about 11 to 12. About 11 to 12 irreconcilable differences. So what does that tell me? It tells me that it's not about those differences. That the issue is not about in a relationship if things aren't going your way. It's not about that. It's how you respond to those differences. Do you respond from an entitled perspective that says, you know what? These things need to be fixed. And if they aren't fixed, obviously to my favor, I'm not happy. That's what entitlement tells us. Or are we going to be people who, instead of entitlement, say, you know what? My priority in this relationship is serving the other person. And so I recognize there are going to be irreconcilable differences, things we disagree on, but I'm not going to let that make me unhappy in the relationship. You know, I think about my own relationship, and I talked about this with my wife. You know, we've known each other for 13 years. We've been married for 6. And can I just tell you, we have some irreconcilable differences. We just do. I want to give you a couple of them. My wife and I, we have different understandings of what it means to show up on time for something. We just have differences. So let's just take this example. You know, Saturday night service, we typically go to, service starts at 5:30. So, you know, for me, showing up on time means showing up when? 5:15. 5:15, because I want to be in my seat with my drink. Whatever I'm doing, I want to be in my seat at 5:30. So that is showing up on time. Now, Maria, her definition is a little bit different than mine. So again, same deal, service starts at 5:30. What does on time look like for her? 5:30-ish. 5:30-ish. See, and the ish could be 5:40, it could be 5:45. I mean, you know, but it's not 5:15. And that is an irreconcilable difference. After 13 years of knowing each other, we're probably no closer on that one than we were the day we met. Just an irreconcilable difference. I'll give you another one. We have different understandings of proper table etiquette at dinner time. You know? And if I'm honest, I really feel this one is her being a bit nitpicky, you know? And I can say that because it's, you know, we're only 20 minutes into the service. She's probably not here yet anyway. So I can say that to her. Hey, listen, if you tell her I said that, you're in big trouble. That's all I got to say. It's between us. But anyway, she has this belief that when I chew food at the table, I should actually do that with my mouth closed. Somebody's clapping, She thinks I should do that with my mouth closed, you know? And let's just say that after 6 years of strong coaching and encouragement from my wife, my ability to do that is a bit mixed. Let's just leave it at that. You know, we now have a 3-month-old, and she's telling me that pretty soon the 3-month-old will surpass my ability to do that. So that's my new... That's my new competition. But just an irreconcilable difference. It may never change, but it's a difference in our relationship. I'll give you one more. We have different definitions of the word saving. We have different definitions of that word. For me, this is just me, saving means choosing not to spend money and instead putting it in a savings account, you know, rainy day fund, something like that. That's what saving means to me. Now, my wife has a different definition for saving. Her definition of saving is this: we spend money, but we do it when the item is on sale. That's right. You guys have heard this before. We do it when the item is on sale. And so what she says is not, no. It's not that we spent this amount of money. What you need to understand, Chuck, we saved 30% because we bought the item when it was on sale. So, you know, just differences that we've not been able to reconcile. But here's what I know. I know in my relationship, it's not about those differences. That's why we make light of it, because it's not about those differences. It's about how I respond to those differences. Do I feel entitled for her to ultimately see things my way? Or does she feel entitled for the same? If we do, then our relationship is all about entitlement. But if we can recognize there are going to be some differences of opinion, there are going to be some things we don't agree on, but if my priority is to serve her, if her priority is to serve me, those differences, you can make jokes about them. You can have fun with them because they're not big deals. They're not big deals. And so I would say that for all of us, in our intimate relationships, they all exist on a scale. And I want you to take a look at this. I think all of our relationships exist on a scale where on one side of the scale is selfishness. Selfishness. And I would say it's natural. It's natural. Our natural MO, our natural bent is to be selfish. It is a challenge for most of us to be selfless. But can I just tell you, that if I think about dating relationships that I'm aware of, and if I think about marriages that I'm aware of, relationships die when selfishness rules. Selfishness, I would say, in America right now, this is the biggest issue in intimate relationships in America. It's selfishness. It's selfishness. Relationships die where selfishness rules. On the other end, We've got service, being a servant to the other person. And I know it's true in my relationships. I think it's true in other relationships I see around me. Relationships thrive when service rules. They thrive when you breathe life into your relationship through service. And I think all of us have relationships that exist on this scale. As a matter of fact, the issue for us is usually it's hard for us to really be honest about where we are personally on that scale. That's really the challenge. I think for many of you, you hear some of the things that I've talked about. You think about this selfishness service thing. You might be sitting next to a person and you're like, oh, I'm so glad they're here for this message. Chuck, go ahead, Chuck. Just go with it, because this is the day. Right here, this is what they needed to hear. And can I just say, maybe if that's how you responded, you might be a little bit closer to the selfishness scale than you want to guess. And can I just tell you that none of us wake up one day and say, you know what, I care about this person. Maybe this is a person I would say I love. So the way I'm going to show that today is I'm just going to be absolutely selfish. None of us do that. We make these small intentional decisions. And as we make these decisions, we are choosing day in and day out whether we're moving closer to being a servant or being closer to looking like this. You know, we can find humor in that, or you can look at that and say, that is a relationship that is very, very sad. Because there's a man who is feeling deeply entitled, and he's beginning to look at his life, and he's beginning to resent the very people he should care about and love. He's resenting that. And I just know that you don't wake up one day in a relationship and jump into that kind of tirade without small steps over a period of time that lead you to that place. So again, I just know that for many of us, we don't want to be like that. We can laugh at that because we feel we're so distant from that. But can I just tell you, you get there in small steps. And so what we want to talk about today is this. If you get anything else, I want you to hear this. The way this works is entitlement creeps in to our relationships. It creeps in. But it has very identifiable symptoms. And if we can understand the symptoms, we can get ourselves in a place where we move closer to being a servant and we don't allow those symptoms to continue to perpetuate into selfishness in our relationships. You know, we're looking at the Old Testament as we talk about this, the first half of the Bible. And there's a book in the Old Testament that's called Song of Songs. And in this book, we get an intimate look at a married couple. We get an intimate look into their relationship. And when I say intimate, I mean intimate, like PG-13 intimate, okay? This is not the book to go home and read your six-year-old when we're done. So we'll put that out there. But we get to see this couple engaging in all of the areas of their life. And one of the things that they say, that the woman says to the man, I think is just a real powerful principle for us to consider as we think about how entitlement can creep into our relationships. In Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 15, this is what it says. Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes, that ruined the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. This is the woman, and she's talking to her husband, and she's saying, you know what? We have a vineyard. This is a time when people had vineyards, and she's saying, you know how little foxes come into the vineyard? And it starts off small, but they dig up a little plant here. They tear up a little plant there. And over time, if you don't do anything about the little foxes, they make themselves at home in the vineyard, and they actually tear the whole vineyard up. She's saying, our relationship is like a vineyard. Our relationship is like that. And so if we're going to continue to be moving towards service, moving towards a relationship that is fruitful, we need to catch the little foxes that can tear up our relationship. And as I think about entitlement, I find in my life there are little foxes of entitlement. Little foxes that in and of themselves may not speak to entitlement, but over time, they move me toward a place of selfishness in my intimate relationship with my wife. I think this is true, again, if you're in a dating relationship and you're starting to move toward a path of, is this the right person? These are little foxes that speak to entitlement, and these little things can destroy what could otherwise be a great relationship for you. So I want to talk about three of them today. The first one is keeping score. Keeping score. Many times in relationships, we find ourselves keeping score. And I think there's as many ways to keep score as there are relationships in here. I know for us, for my wife and I, there's one. I mean, if you want a hint, I'll give you what works for us. The things we fight about the most, those are probably areas where we're keeping score. And I know that some of you have relationships where you don't fight. You know, you have disagreements. That's so sweet. We were fighting over this one. So let me just say, we were fighting over this one. And for us, how we kept score very early in our relationship was how many days over the holidays we get to spend with each other's families. Ooh, man, you talk about some hard arguments. Knock down, drag out. Everything comes on the table. All the stuff that you've been holding back all year comes out. It, for us, was when it came time to figuring out how many days we're going to spend with each other's families. Now, here's the thing. We both felt entitled to the same thing. That was the problem. We both felt entitled to spend as much time with our family as we wanted. There's only one problem. Problem is, our families are 10 hours away. But they're only an hour from each other. So it's like, okay, we're going 10 hours. You mean to tell me we're going to put gas in the car, we're going to take vacation, we're going to go 10 hours, and we're only going to spend that time with your family? No. This is how this is going to work. We need to get equal time. I want equal time for my family and your family. And so we would have this discussion. I remember driving on the Pennsylvania Turnpike Christmas time. It's supposed to be a holly time. You know, we got that playing in the background, Christmas carols, the holly jolly Christmas, and there ain't nothing holly or jolly about what was going on in that Jetta. Nothing. Nothing holly or jolly about it. We're fighting over days. We were fighting over minutes. We would have conversations that would go like this. Your mom sleeps late. So why would we leave in the morning when your mom sleeps late? Why not have breakfast with my parents? Because they get up early, because your mom won't even be up when we get there. I mean, we're just stupid stuff. But it was all about keeping score. It was all about, you know, if we're spending this much time here, we got to spend this much time there. And I'm telling you, when you keep score, it is a little fox of entitlement, a little fox that moves you a little bit closer to selfishness. And for us, what really just opened our eyes is, you know what? Here's how we win on this one. Here's how we win. The only way we could win on this one was by losing. We had to just give up that entitlement. We had to give it up. Because here's what was true. What was true is no matter how many days we spent with each other's parents, if all the way there, the 10-hour trip back and forth, we're fighting and arguing, and we're arguing and at each other's throats while we're there, as a couple, we lose. And so clearly keeping score wasn't working for either of us. So we had to turn from keeping score and come to a place of saying, you know what? It's about serving the other person. What is it that you really want? What is it that looks like quality time spent with your family? And same thing, we would ask that to each other, because keeping score is a little fox that can lead us down a road to entitlement in our relationships. It creeps in. Here's another one for you. Another one for you is using words as weapons. Using words as weapons. There's a guy who just did extensive research on marriage. His name is John Gottman. He's got several books out on marriage. And he looked at relationships, and he realized that he could tell, as he looked at his data, he could tell by watching couples interact if they were headed for divorce. And he it was painfully obvious that he could be that accurate. And he said what it really boils down to is what he called the four horsemen of the apocalypse. He said, if you're in a relationship and these words are being used all the time in your relationship, you are on a path that leads to divorce. You are on a path that leads to broken relationships. The four horsemen were this. The first one, he said, is criticism. Criticism, but specifically, criticism that says this. Criticism that says, you always fill in the blank. Or, you never fill in the blank. So, you always show up late. You always forget about what I want to do in this situation. Or you never help around the house. When you start hearing those kinds of extremes, that criticism, he was saying, I'm telling you, the data points out, that is not healthy for your relationship. Criticism was one. Another one he said was contempt. Contempt. And the way I think about contempt is this. Contempt is not what you're saying about what a person did. Contempt are words that speak to who the person is. Knees really, really cut deeply. So contempt includes the words that I can't even repeat on stage because it's offensive to people, because it speaks to who you think a person is, not just about what they did. It's those put downs. It's those nicknames that don't have any right seeing the light of day, that whenever you want to really stick the dagger in, you use them in polite company. That's contempt. And he said, and when you use words as weapons like that, you are on a path that leads towards selfishness, entitlement, and the death of a relationship. Another one he said is defensiveness. Defensiveness. I think this one is a good one for those who are in the dating world, because you know, unless things have significantly changed, I'm sure they haven't, because I have friends who are in the dating world, I know that at some point in the conversation, you have the where is this relationship going conversation, right? That still happens. And in that situation, many times, instead of being honest and upfront, oftentimes it's easier to get defensive. It's easier to say, whoa, what about you? Why are you asking me these questions? What about what you're doing? What about the choices you're making? It's easy to get defensive. And when we do that in that situation, we're using words as a weapon. We're using words to defend as opposed to being honest and open and sharing truth about how we feel. And the last one he said for words is actually the lack of words. The lack of words. He calls it stonewalling. Let me see if you've ever seen this in a relationship. You ever been having a conversation, it gets heated, and all of a sudden the person does this. They stare at you, and you know they're looking at you, but you know they have checked out. And no matter how loud you shout, no matter how much you say, they're basically communicating through their lack of words, I'm gone. I am not having this conversation with you anymore. I'm done. And what he said is when you do that, that lack of words is being used as a weapon. And many times in our relationships, whether it's contempt, whether it's criticism, defensiveness, or stonewalling, we're doing that because we feel entitled to something we're not getting in the relationship. We feel entitled, and so we want to use those words to manipulate the other person into doing what we want them to do or being who we want them to be. We're using words as a weapon. And what I know to be true and what I think is being pointed out in this principle is that's a little fox. That's a little fox that leads to entitlement, and it can lead to the death of a relationship. So keeping score, little fox, using words as weapon, little fox. There's one more, and I call this one withholding. Withholding, and it could be withholding words like affirmation. More often than not, though, it's withholding actions from the other person. It's knowing how to bless them by serving them, but choosing not to. Oftentimes, because you're still keeping score. They didn't do that for me. Or you're withholding from them things that are right for them to have. Maybe you're withholding truth from them. Maybe you're withholding other things from them that are right for them to have. You know, in an intimate marriage relationship, it could be withholding sex. There are ways to withhold where we know it's going to hurt the other person. You know, I went away a couple weeks ago and just spent some time in quiet and reflecting. And one of the things I was reflecting on while I was there is my intimate relationship. Spending some time thinking about, hey, what does it look like for me to be a husband to Maria in a way that serves her now? We've got a kid. There are changes in our relationship. What should I be thinking about? And just spending some time praying and reading about that. What does it look like for me to be a father and all that? And I spent probably the better part of a day focused on my relationship with Maria. And I took a book with me. It's a great book, a book that I'd read bits and pieces of before, but it was like, it was one of those last minute things. Maybe I'll take this off the shelf and maybe I'll get a chance to spend some time reading that. Well, I tell you what, I read a chapter in this book that just completely floored me, completely slapped me right between the eyes. I just knew that when it comes to withholding, that I am doing that. I am doing that to my wife. Let me read the quote from you. It's from a book that's called Sacred Marriage by Gary Thomas. And in the book, he's asking an interesting question, and that's what you see on the top cover if you can read it. He says, what if God designed marriage to make us holy more than to make us happy? Interesting concept. I've always been fascinated by that you know what? Relationships aren't given to us just for our happiness. It's great that we can find happiness, but I believe the primary reason God has wired us to be people who are in relationship is for growth. And that's what he's saying. And so I read this quote right here. It says, marriage creates a situation in which our desire to be served and coddled can be replaced with a more noble desire to serve others, even to sacrifice for others. This is a call for both husbands and wives. The beauty of marriage is that it confronts our selfishness and demands our service 24 hours a day. When we're most tired, most worn down, and feeling more sorry for ourselves than we ever have before, we have the opportunity to confront feelings of self-pity by getting up and serving our mate. I tell you, when I read those words, I was beyond challenged. You know, sometimes I'll read things and it's like, oh, that's challenging. Man, I need to think about that. I read those words and I was convicted. I was convicted because for me, those words are not a mindset. It's a place. It's a place. The place is the sofa in our family room in the basement. That's the place where that kind of entitlement plays out for me. Here's how it works. Here's how it works. At the end of many days, if I've been working all day, or the end of a weekend like this where I've been engaging in this way of teaching, I go home and I go right to that sofa. I go right to that sofa, and it's almost like for me, it's a prompt to myself that it's time to wind down. And it's time for a little Chuck time. You know, it's time for me to get some time for myself. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. So I get on there, and oftentimes I'm there, and my wife will join me, and she'll join me with our son. And she may ask me a simple question. She may say, "Hey, would you mind going upstairs and getting me a glass of water?" Or maybe there's something she needs from the second floor, two flights up, and she'll say, "Oh, I need this for Nathan right now. Would you mind running up and getting that for me?" And if I'm honest, you know what I'm thinking when she asks that question? Why don't you get it yourself? What's wrong with your legs? I mean, wait. I work all day. Look, I've been sharing and giving of myself all weekend, and you mean to tell me that I can't just get a couple of minutes for me to sit down and it be about Chuck and not be about me getting up and getting you a glass of water that you could have asked me to get for you before I got downstairs? What? Why don't you get it yourself? Now, I don't say that. But I think it, and you know, I read those words and I realized, you know, instead of me sitting on the sofa with my wife when she asked me for something, instead of me seeing that as an inconvenience, that's an opportunity. That's an opportunity, because how do you catch the little foxes? I mean, okay, so you can relate to this idea of keeping score. And you're like, man, I know I do that in my relationship. How do you stop using words as a weapon? Or maybe for you, how do you stop withholding? Well, I want to actually tell you that those symptoms that we're talking about, those little foxes, I don't want you to beat yourself up coming out of here about those. Here's what I want those to be for you. I want those to be prompts for you. I want those to be reminders. And when you find yourself feeling that way, here's what I want you to do instead. The best wisdom I can give you on this is the wisdom that I find in the Bible. And the wisdom that I find in particularly Philippians, which is a letter to the early church in Philippi. And in chapter 2 of this letter, this is what it says. It says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." So how do I catch those little foxes? When I find myself wanting to keep score, when I'm tempted to use words as a weapon, or when I'm tempted to withhold, instead of doing that, I simply look to serve. I look to serve. Oh man, I am keeping score. I know it. You know what? What would it look like for me to serve Maria in this way? What would it look like for me to help her win in this situation? You know what? I'm getting hot, I'm getting heated, and I know that the words that are going to come out of my mouth will be words that may hurt her. Instead, what would it look like for me to speak words of encouragement or words to say, "I'm listening to you," instead of those hurtful words? Look to serve. You know, I'm withholding, it's on the sofa, it's at the end of a long weekend. You know what? She's asking me for something, and it's not an inconvenience. It is an opportunity for me to look to serve her. That's the simple solution. And so in that, I want to give you a challenge. The challenge is this. I think all of us, as I've been connecting and talking about these things and showing these little foxes, I think many of us know this is the relationship that's playing out in for me. So I want to give you a very specific challenge this week. I want you to intentionally serve that person. Do one thing specifically to serve that person this week. And you know what? You might be sitting next to that person. You might be sitting next to your spouse. You might be sitting next to your significant other. I want you to do this even if they don't. Even if they don't listen to this. This challenge is for you. Because the opportunity is not for me to try to figure out how to reconcile differences with someone else. It's for me to take an attitude of a servant in my relationships. And I love how that letter concludes. It says, "Your attitude should be the same as Christ. Because Jesus, God in human form, had the right to be entitled when he walked the earth. But instead, time after time, we see Jesus taking the role of a servant in his relationship with people. And so how we can get that attitude kind of goes to some of what we sung at the beginning when we sung that song, Blessed Be Your Name. So I'm going to ask everybody to stand. And I want us to sing that song again. And I want this song to be a rallying cry for you this week to follow through on this challenge. Because you know what? I love how this song talks about the fact that sometimes I'm going to get and sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I'm going to get what's coming to me and it might be fair, but sometimes life isn't fair. Either way, I want to be responding as a servant, not as a selfish person in those intimate relationships. And I just want to pray for us because I want to pray that we would be empowered by God to do this because I recognize that if you're like me, this is not the natural response to relationships. So let's pray. God, I am asking that for all of us, you would help us to first recognize and then to catch these little foxes of entitlement that show up in our intimate relationships. God, help us to know that you put people in our lives and you put these intimate relationships in our lives, not solely for our happiness, but for our growth. And one of the ways that we grow is by learning how to serve that person selflessly instead of selfishly seeking to be served. So God, I'm asking that this week we would respond. You would give us specific ideas, specific things we can go out and do to serve that person in the relationship. And as we sing this song, I just pray that you would help us to take the attitude of Jesus in our relationships. Amen.